This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. I'm Mike Ross, filling in for Dave. And as we do on Fridays, time to check in with Michael McNeely. Now, the 45th or 46th annual Toronto International Film Festival is happening now, runs until the 18th. The 10 days of the festival features close to 200 films from across Canada and around the world. Our entertainment critic, Michael McNeely, has been covering the festival, and he joins us from his family residence in Kingston, Ontario. Hello, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. It is wonderful to talk to you again. Today, we're going to focus on the accessibility of the festival. So how's it been so far, in your opinion?
I think it's been good in some parts, and it's needed enough improvement in others. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that. I think one of the biggest challenges is, although everything does have subtitles or closed captioning, the subtitles and closed captioning can be hard to see sometimes.
What accessibility features are in place this year?
So, as I mentioned, we do have closed captioning and subtitles for all the films and all the presentations, such as the talks by celebrities. However, I've noticed that as a journalist, I also have some access to industry and marketplace screenings, and those don't appear to have closed captioning for me, although it's not necessarily that I would need to see those. I just wondered if they were accessible, that's all. We don't have any films with audio description, which means that many of us at AMI would not be able to watch these films, unfortunately. We don't have anything for people with autism or people who need a low sensory area. And I've also asked about the accessibility of in-person screenings, but I haven't received any information about that. So I find that a bit concerning as well.
Could anything else be improved while the festival's in progress?
The festival is just about to come to a close right now. And I can only imagine how stressed and overworked the staff are. And that's one of the recommendations that I want to make in a future question that you can ask me, Dave. So right now, it's unlikely that much improvement could occur at this stage.
Okay, you helped with a report commissioned by Inside Out in Toronto this past year. Can you talk a little bit about the findings in the report?
Yes. So the report is about creating a culture of accessibility. What does that mean? What does that look like? And we did some case studies based on different organizations that we thought did have a culture of accessibility, but were not disability-led organizations. For example, AMI would not qualify because AMI is already considered to be targeting a specific disability or disabilities. But in the case of TIFF, it's just a cultural organization that doesn't necessarily have any disabilities in mind, but, you know, should be accessible for everyone regardless. So the purpose of our report was to see the organizations that were not disability-led but still had a culture of accessibility, still went out of their way to help people with disabilities access their services. We wanted to find out, you know, what motivated them to do this work and what kinds of strategies they had for being accessible. And we found out that building a culture of accessibility starts from within. It usually starts from one or two staff members or volunteers becoming passionate about disability, becoming passionate about accessibility. And why did they become passionate? Maybe it's because they had a family member or a friend that had a disability. Maybe it's because they had a disability themselves. It doesn't matter why they became passionate, but they were usually the initiators of a movement from within the organization to become more accessible and more accountable for people with disabilities. So I think that was one of the main key findings. And then the second key finding that I would like to share with you is the importance of consulting people with disabilities, the importance of making sure that their voices are heard, and making sure that they know that their voices are heard so that they feel valued and able to contribute to the organization's goals and mandates. And it's also very important that when we hear people with disabilities consulting or putting forward their opinions, it's important that we value their work, maybe perhaps financially, or with some kind of contribution that allows them to enjoy what the organization has to offer.
What would you want TIFF to implement as a result of this report, knowing that TIFF is a different organization than Inside Out or the other organizations discussed in the report?
I think, first of all, I know that TIFF means well. I know that they're generally trying to be accessible. I just wish that they could go forward more with those attempts at being accessible. I would like to see them, you know, talk more about how they're being accessible and what kinds of features they're implementing. So, for example, I did ask about the accessibility of in-person screenings, and I didn't receive an answer. So even if the in-person screenings were accessible, I wouldn't know about them. And that's frustrating, because what is the point of having an accessibility feature if you're not letting the community know that those accessibility features are in place? And another thing that I would want to have implemented at TIFF is the consultation, necessary consultation with people with disabilities to ask them what they want from a film festival, what they expect from a film festival, and, you know, what are some of the success parameters we would have to ensure that each year we're making progress from the year before in terms of becoming more accessible. Because I think there's just a lack of communication between TIFF and accessibility community members. And I feel that's unfortunate, because if there was greater communication, there would be greater use of TIFF's services, I believe. And finally, I think with this consultation in place, I would be able to talk to TIFF, amongst other people, of course, but I would mention that the closed captioning and the subtitles are difficult to see, and that they should be doing more audio description, because they're currently not doing any right now.
In your opinion, what do you think is stopping a film festival as big as TIFF from mandating their films be accessible with captioning and description?
I think the biggest thing is a fear or a reluctance to talk to the distributors. The distributors are the ones that publish the films. And there needs to be a partnership between them, because if the film festival doesn't get films, then of course you can't have a film festival. But at the same time, the film festival is the one that's accepting these films. And they're the ones that are saying it's okay to accept these films that do not have accessibility features in them. So I believe that's one of the big issues. And if we can talk to the distributing companies, then they may recognize the importance of having accessibility features in the films. However, it's been brought to my attention that many filmmakers are, you know, rushing to get their films done, that some of them may have their films done the day before the film festival actually starts. And so I think things have to be changed in terms of that timeline. I think accessibility needs to be integrated from the very beginning so that it's not an afterthought and it's not part of a rush job. So those are some of my observations from my perspective.
All right. I can't let you go without discussing some more films. So tell us about Encounter, starring Riz Ahmed from The Sound of Metal.
Yes, so Encounter is a very interesting film as it changes genres. So I don't want to talk too much about the storyline, as I might give out or I might give away what actually happens. But ultimately, at the beginning, Riz Ahmed plays a father who has a military experience and is a sort of scientist. And he believes that we're going to be under a pandemic. Not the COVID pandemic, but a pandemic in which bugs have taken over our bodies. So he believes that we're being taken over by parasites. And he has two children. He's separated from his wife. And so he doesn't think that his wife is taking care of the children during this pandemic. And that's all I want to mention. But it is a great road trip film. And I really appreciated the bond that you find exists between the father and the children. And also, Octavia Spencer is in the film, and she does a great job as well.
Okay. Another interesting film was You Are Not My Mother, which is about a mother that may be having some bad days as a result of mental illness or possession.
Yes. And Mike, I am not your mother. I know that. But ultimately, it's the story of three generations of an Irish family, and the mother is, as you mentioned, she's not doing well. And this is kind of a story of mental illness, but it's also more of a story of Irish folklore and superstition. With regards to the mental illness aspect, I would have appreciated more details about the mental illness. Because one of the issues we have when we talk about films with disability is often disability is generalized and there's not enough specifics. So it's not clear what kind of mental illness this person has. And as a result, we become afraid of that person because there's things that we don't know, whether anything could happen. But at the same time, this is also a demon possession film. So I'm not sure how well my criticisms could hold if someone's been possessed by a demon. Then basically, it doesn't matter about the mental illness aspect. However, I would mention that this film started off interesting. It had some really good scares, but ultimately I found the plot holes to be too distracting for my liking. And so I ended up sort of giving this movie a mixed review. But I did want everyone to know about it because of the mental health aspect.
Michael, some great insight, some great information on not only the movies, but on TIFF. We really appreciate it. Have fun at the remaining days of the Toronto International Film Festival. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. And I'll be back to normal next week. I'll be rested up and we'll talk about films that everyone can see.
Fantastic. Thank you. Michael McNeely, our entertainment critic, discussing this year's Toronto International Film Festival, which is running now until September 18th. For more information, visit tiff.net. When we come back after a quick break, lots more now with Dave Brown coming your way as we wrap up the week here on AMI.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.